This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo. Thank God it is Friday. Friday by day right here. We're going to make you money right here live on YouTube. We've got all our picks for the NFL divisional round coming up, so make sure you stick around for that. But before we do anything, go ahead and hit the subscribe button right there on YouTube Live. When you subscribe to the show, it helps us build the channel. We are creeping forward.
Yes. Yes.
We are creeping forward. Closer and closer to 100 followers. We only need 10 times that amount, so don't feel bad. When you pass up the subscribe button, it's your fault that we failed. Anyway, the point is, I'm kidding. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button right here on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, find us there. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We have got a lot of NFL to get to today. Basically, I have no idea what to make of this weekend. It's divisional round. I think the one-on-one matchups this weekend, Jake, are simply spectacular. And that's why I want to start with Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
I want to start with the Bucs v. the Saints. And obviously, when you have two iconic quarterbacks like this, it's so rare that you get this kind of matchup.
Right.
Do you favor one side over the other? When you look at this thing, do you look at Tom Brady versus Drew Brees? Do you have, well, I mean, your heart's black. That's why you're always single.
Right.
But do you have any feeling, love, or emotion involved in this?
No, not at all. I would love to see Brady win the game. I'd love to see him get to the Super Bowl this year. And obviously to do that, he's going to have to win this week to go on to the next round. And so that's what I want to happen. But I think the game itself is a lot more complicated than that. I think the game truly will be decided in the trench. The Saints defensive line versus the Bucs offensive line. If Tom Brady has time to throw, he's going to dominate this game and they're going to win this thing. If he doesn't have time to throw and the Saints are getting home, the Saints are going to win this thing. It really is that simple.
Yeah, and I look at some of these matchups, and I look at some of what's on the line in these games, and it is really apparent to me that legacies are going to be cemented or broken this weekend. I mean, you look at what Drew Brees is playing for. This is a guy who I think is clearly on the road to retirement after this season. The next time Drew Brees loses, he's done as an NFL player, I think. I think there's a sense of urgency with that. I do think the karmic gods are going to come back to get Sean Payton and the Saints after Sean Payton destroyed a pair of Air Jordan 11 low Concords last weekend with his slime thing with Nickelodeon. What an idiot. So I'm thinking I'm leaning towards Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay box. I know that's crazy, and I know that defensive front for the Saints is really good. They blitz really effectively, and I think that's going to be an issue for the Bucs. But I think when you have a game of this magnitude and you're looking at the little innate details of winning a divisional round game to play for a conference championship, that takes a lot of chutzpah. That takes a lot of talent. I love the offensive group for the Bucs, and I love Tom Brady. Jake, I think I'm going with the Bucs here.
Yeah, I think one of the things we can look at when we're trying to figure out who's going to win this game or which way you're going to lean is the matchup last week, Bears and Saints. You know, I look at the fact that the Saints only put up 21 points in that game, and I say to myself, man, like, that's really not a lot of points. You know, if you were playing somebody else, you'd have had to put up a lot more points, you know? And then you consider the fact that they had the extra possessions with the Bears' mistakes and things like that. So, you know, I don't love what the Saints bring to the table offensively. They're definitely capable, no doubt about that. Obviously, Drew is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, but I just think at the end of the day, the Bucs are more talented. I think Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Drew Brees, and I think it's just a matter of can they give him protection to go ahead and make some plays. And the answer is yes. I do think they can do that. I do think they'll run the ball early. I do think Mike Evans is going to have a huge game. I think he's going to get open. I think he's going to make plays, and I could see them winning this game by 7 to 10 points at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think the way I look at these, and just looking at some of the lines and the numbers in this game, by the way, this is the late game on Sunday. I look at the fact that New Orleans is favored by only three points at home in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. That tells you that the boys in Vegas really like Tom Brady and the Bucs here.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to stay in that same vein. I could see this going somewhere in the order of 31-27. I could see this being a 31-30 game. But if I have to put my cards on the table and I got to put that stacks of cash that I make in the Yelpatory, I think I'm going to go Bucks 31, Saints 27, Drew Brees goes out a loser.
Yeah, I think in this, I agree. I think the Bucks are going to win the game. I think it's much more comfortable than that, mainly because I think Drew Brees is going to turn the football over in this game at least once.
Wow.
And I think the Bucks are going to put up 35 points in this game, and the Saints will be somewhere in the mid-20s. And I think the Bucs will either have a defensive touchdown or they will get multiple turnovers, and one of those extra possessions is how the Bucs will get out to that lead.
Well, that'll certainly be interesting. That is, I mean, think about this matchup of quarterbacks. When have we had a matchup like this in the NFL playoffs? It's been years.
It's been a long time. I mean, yeah. I think about the iconic matchups that we've ever had, you know, again, since I've been paying attention to the NFL playoffs. You know, obviously the Giants and the Patriots matching up all those times when it was Eli versus Tom. You know, I think about Colts and Patriots when it was Peyton. You know, that was kind of the heyday of quarterback matchups. You know, that's when we had, like, a lot of great, like, head-to-head, back-and-forth kind of matchups. You could even say, would you say that Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady is a great matchup in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I think in a Super Bowl it is, but that's really my point. It's, I think usually we have to get to a Super Bowl to see, you know, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Tom yeah. Brady, Matt Ryan, to see these great matchup of quarterbacks in a divisional round. And I'm there's clearly, you know, legacies and playoff wins on the line, but usually when the stakes are high, you're getting a quarterback matchup like this.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how those guys go. I think the other great quarterback matchup is really not a great quarterback matchup. It's a quarterback versus a defense. It's Buffalo. It's Baltimore. It is the Bills Mafia versus Lamar Jackson. I don't have a real good read on how this Bills defense is going to do against Lamar. I think, obviously, this is one of the better defenses in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about that.
Far more physical.
Yeah, I think Sean McDermott's done a great job building that organization and building his defense. You're finally getting great quarterback play out of Jared Allen, and we're going to talk about Josh Allen, rather. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I keep calling him Jared Allen. I do that every time I talk about him. Josh Allen, we'll talk about him in a minute. I think the marquee matchup in this game is Lamar Jackson versus that Bills defense, because Lamar is an elite runner. He is not an elite passer. I make him beat me down the field.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm not playing one-on-one, because they've got, you know, Andrews and, you know, obviously Hollywood Brown, and like they've got talent,
yeah.
Right? But the question is, do the Bills make Lamar Jackson beat them throwing the football? And I don't see why you would do anything but that.
Well, let's not forget what the Chargers did to Lamar Jackson. What was that last year? Maybe the postseason the year before, whatever it was, where they essentially played nickel the whole game. And they essentially had five DBs on the field the entire game to match Lamar's speed. And he wasn't able to run the football, and they lost the game. And so, to me, you know, when I look at this game, I say to myself, hey, on one hand, you could say, yeah, it is, the premier matchup is Lamar versus the Bills defense. But if I'm the Bills, that's not the premier matchup in the game. If I'm the Bills, I'm saying, hey, our guy versus their defense is the matchup in this game. If we go out and we put up 30 points on the board, Lamar Jackson has nothing to do with that, right? If we go out and we put up, you know, 25 to 30 points in this game, that gives us an elite opportunity to win this game. Because if they do that, what does that inherently mean? That means they possess the football for 15 to 20 minutes in this game. That means that's 15 to 20 minutes that Lamar Jackson does not have the football in his hands, trying to break games open. So that's why I say, if you're the Bills, that's what you should be looking at as fans and as watchers and as, you know, people in our position. Yeah, I think how the Bills treat Lamar Jackson in this game is going to be huge. Are they going to be really physical with him? Are they going to pull up and not make the hit? Because if I'm the Bills, and I know this is cold-blooded and not a lot of people want to do it in the league, if I'm the Bills, I'm okay taking a couple 15-yarders to send a message that you're not going to be able to run all over the field and not get hit. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying dirty hits, but I'm just saying, hey, if you have the opportunity to lay the wood to him in the open field, you should do it. You should absolutely do it.
Well, look, I think there's no doubt that looking at the numbers of Lamar Jackson when he's in the pocket, his efficiency numbers are far less. There's no question about that. You have got to keep Lamar Jackson behind the line of scrimmage. And you can allow him to roll to his left, you're in really good shape. Rolling to his right, he's a little bit better of a thrower. I think you've got to keep him behind the line of scrimmage. And when he comes out, you have got to hit him. I agree with that 100%. I guess I'm not in favor of hitting a guy just to hit a guy. But I think you have to break his spirit.
Yeah.
And I got to imagine he's feeling pretty good because he is, you know, he got his first playoff win. He had a pretty good game. I still think Lamar Jackson has to run and run incredibly well for them to win. And that's why I'm going to pick Josh Allen and the Bills. Because when I look at Josh Allen, he simply doesn't turn the football over. And Siri just won't shut up. She like wants to be part of the show.
Yeah, she wants to be on the show, man.
But the point is, I think when you look at Josh Allen and he doesn't turn the ball over, Lamar does. Josh Allen throws the ball down the field exceptionally well. Lamar Jackson does not. And the other thing I think is really important about Allen and the way he plays, he runs because he likes to, but he knows he has to run when he has to.
Yeah.
Not necessarily by design. He's really smart the way he runs. He runs in big situations. Obviously they run him more down at the goal line, but when he's on his own 30 and it's third and four and he breaks your spirit, Josh Allen does, with a 17-yard gain, that's what he's really learned to refine. And he's learned to play within himself. He's learned not to press. He's learned not to try to play Johnny Hero ball.
Yeah.
That's why the Bills are where they are. It's not because their defense. It's because Josh Allen has learned to play within himself and be part of the team.
This is Monty Coach Talk.
You know what I'm talking about. This game is in Buffalo, and here's the scary part.
Yep.
Buffalo's a 2.5-point favorite at home. 49.5 is the number.
Yeah.
It's a shocking number. At -2.5, this is a pick'em game. And if we're really being succinct, Vegas likes the Ravens just
by
a little bit more.
Just by a field goal.
Just a little bit more. I say screw that. I'm taking the Bills to win this game by at least a touchdown, and I think it's going over the 49.
Yeah, and I think the best way to go back to what you were saying about Josh Allen's game and how it's not predicated on the run, but he's learned to refine that. To me, the best way to talk about that is just to simply say that his game is predicated on his pocket presence and leading that team, and he has the ability to get the first down. Whether he's got to run somebody over, which he's totally capable of doing, which, by the way, is not something that Lamar Jackson does, Josh Allen's willing to run over a DB. He's more than happy to do it, and he's shown us multiple times. And I think the biggest thing here is that the Bills, and this is a credit to Sean McDermott, the Bills are such a tough team. Like, I think about the Ravens matchup with the Titans last week. The reason the Ravens won that game was not the Lamar run. Let's talk about what led to the Lamar run. Right, the reason he had that opportunity is because that offensive line kicked ass that entire game.
Yeah.
They wore down that Titans defense to a point where there were huge holes available in the second half. And so I just don't see that happening against the Bills. I think the offensive and defensive lines are equal in this game, and it is going to come down to quarterback play. And frankly, that's how it should be in the postseason. That's really how it should be. Your quarterback should have to go out, make plays, and that'll determine your success.
Well, and the other thing I really like about the Bills, again, not to belabor the point, is obviously you're getting incredible wide receiver play right now. Stephon Diggs has been fantastic. They're going to be without Zach Moss. Now, that's a pretty significant loss for Buffalo. You're going to have to probably rely on guys that you're not comfortable relying on. We'll see how they run the football and where they go with that. But I think, by the by, in Buffalo, I think it's a more difficult place to play.
Yeah.
I really like the Bills in this, and I'll be interested to see, can Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley have another really good performance against a secondary, frankly, that's pretty good in Baltimore. I don't think they are, you know, they're not as physical a defense as the Colts are.
Uh-huh.
But Baltimore brings the wood. I mean, they're coming for you. So it'll be interesting. I still think I am going to stick with Buffalo here.
Yeah.
And I feel like the play is a 6-point win for Buffalo. And it's just a matter of how much does Lamar Jackson put the ball on the ground or throw interceptions.
Yeah, for me,
I think that's happening.
You know, I agree. I'm going to take Buffalo in this game too. I don't think either of these teams get to 30 points, though. This doesn't feel like that kind of a game. To me, this feels like a tighter game. Within a touchdown, I like your 6-point prediction a lot. I like that a lot. And I'm going to go ahead and say Bills 28, Ravens 24.
Ooh. If it's a 28-24 game, I mean, you're over the number there, which I agree with. I really struggle with the idea that Buffalo can win a low-scoring tight game.
Why?
Because I worry about their ability to run the football. I think this game's got to be in the 30s for the Bills to win, and I think it will be. This is a, you know, 35-31 kind of game. This is one of those games. And I'm taking the Bills. I think I'm going to go 35-31.
If it's in the 30s, that means Lamar's definitely got a running touchdown, in my opinion, you know, to get to that point level. And that concerns me, you know. So I don't know. I could see it both ways. But at the end of the day, I'm taking the Bills, and that's my pick.
All right, let's shift gears and talk about the Pack, because I think Packers and Rams, I think, is a delish matchup. Obviously, this game is in Green Bay at Lambeau. Obviously, without fans, that's a different joint. But here's, I guess, my main question. Are the Rams capable of traveling in adverse weather conditions and winning on the road?
No.
With Jared Allen?
Jared Goff.
We're talking NFL playoffs on the Jake Show. Are the Rams capable of traveling on the road to Green Bay adverse weather conditions with Jared Goff as your starting quarterback with a thumb injury that is healing more and more by the second? John Wolford's not going to be able to play in this game, so it's Goff all the way. There's an interesting stat floating around. Sean McVay is undefeated when he's leading at halftime. I believe he's 35-0. I don't think there's any way the Rams are leading at halftime.
Yeah.
And I still think they're going to win this game. And I think the Rams win this game for one reason. Jalen Ramsey wins versus Davante Adams. And I think it is, we talked about Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. Lamar Jackson versus Josh, don't call me Jared Allen. Right? Two great quarterback matchups. I think Jalen Ramsey versus Davante Adams
fire
is the single best matchup of the weekend. And when I look at what the Packers are and what they've been, I think the Packers are going to have to convincingly run the football to win this game. I think Aaron Donald's not 100%. And I still think that Rams defense is good enough up front. And I think Jalen Ramsey's going to have a massive performance. And they're going to have to hit the wallflower known as Aaron Rodgers. And they're going to have to make Aaron Rodgers' family feel good by driving Aaron's face into the turf at Lambeau repeatedly. Right? I'm being a jerk now. But the point is, I think they've got to make Aaron Rodgers feel how cold it is. They've got to put a helmet on his chest. And I think they're going to do that. I think Jalen's going to have a game. And I think the Rams are going back to the conference championship.
Yeah, I'd love to agree with you, but I don't. I think the Rams have consistently disappointed us over the years in the postseason for a number of reasons. And I think this week, the thing that terrifies me about this game is the fact that Aaron Donald isn't 100%, because that's the kind of presence they need to be getting after Aaron Rodgers and to be stopping the run game to have success. So that scares me to death that he's not 100%. And it's one thing to not be 100% with like a, you know, a bad hand as a defensive lineman, let's say, but he's got broken ribs. Like, that's a physical ass injury that takes the energy out of you. So I have concerns about that. The other major concern I have is Jared Goff. Just simply put, Jared Goff. When I think about the Super Bowl performance, when I think about the fact that he damn near lost his job. If John Wolford doesn't get hurt, he's probably starting this game.
Yeah.
I think about that. I agree with you on the Jalen Ramsey matchup. I think that's going to be a hell of a matchup. And I do think that Jalen will win that matchup for the most part. But let's not forget everyone's takeaway in the matchup against DK Metcalf. You yourself even said that Jalen didn't shut DK down. And DK did score, but I think Jalen did the best he could. So even if he does shut Devontae down the whole game, I still think Devontae finds a way to score, inevitably. And so my biggest concern here is you're going to Lambeau in the cold. Your stud defensive lineman has broken ribs. Jared Goff's hand is hurt. He's not clutch. Like, I have big concerns in this game. And so to me, it's really difficult to pick against the Packers as much as I hate Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just don't see the Rams going there.
Why do you hate Aaron Rodgers? Can we have you espouse different ways?
Dude, the guy is a dick. Like, he's not a likable figure. He's the asshole on the State Farm commercials who thinks he's cool.
He really is.
Like, get out of here, bro. Preach. I get it.
Preach!
Dude, like, keep I going. Get it.
Talk about his bad mustache. Talk about the fact that Danica Patrick dumped his ass. Well, he dumped her. But Danica dumped his ass. Talk about his family.
His family hates him.
Damn it.
Anyway. okay.
Yeah,
wow.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
NSYNC.
Yeah, so,
well, Backstreet Boys more than NSYNC. But anyway, the point is, I think Aaron Rodgers is a really good quarterback. And I think Jared Goff has something to prove.
Oh, I hope so.
I think Jared Goff feels like he has been disrespected. I think Jared Goff saw something the day that John Wolford went out there and won them a big football game to get them into the playoffs. I think Jared Goff played like a much different quarterback. And I think Jared Goff is ready to take a step forward. This is one of those defining games.
It's a prove-it game, bro. You got to have it.
Well, not even a prove-it game. This is where you go to Lambeau Field if you're Jared Goff and you prove that you belong as the starting quarterback of the LA Rams. You prove that this is your team. You prove that John Wolford can't hold your jock. You go out there and you perform. And the biggest question is, what do they do without a guy? Like, what's Cooper Kupp mean to him? Like, you look at all these different things, Jake. I think Jared Goff has so much to prove here. I think it's critical he perform well.
Yeah, and I hope that happens. I really do. Like, me as a dude, I want the Rams to win. I really do. I want them to win. But if I was putting money on it, I would not pick them to win this game. What I would do if I was putting money on this game, I would take the Packers. I think they're gonna be 27-30 points in this game, and I think the Rams don't get out of the teens because I think Jared Goff turns the football over in this game.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. There's no question about it. I'm gonna take the Rams to win this game, and it's gonna be really, really close. Green Bay's favored by a touchdown. The number's 45.5. I know that it is supposed to be freezing and snowing a little bit.
Yeah.
Snow flurries and 32 degrees at kickoff. I'm taking the Rams. And I'm taking the Rams to win a high-scoring game. And I'm telling you right now, Jared Goff is having a coming-out party. I'm going Rams 38, Packers 6. I'm going Rams.
Better fucking execution.
You better. Rams 38. Packers 35.
Okay.
I hope so. This is a huge, high-scoring shootout.
I just want to say I want the Rams to win this game. I really do. I want the Rams to win this game.
I want it.
But, yeah, like, I want it. But, you know, I can't pick them. So, yeah. Anyway,
okay.
All right.
So, you're all in.
Yeah, I'm taking the Packers in this game. But I want the Rams to win.
You're so dumb. You know, by the way, have you ever beat me in the football pool?
No.
Why is that?
Because I'm dumb.
And I'm better at picking games than you are, right?
Sure.
So why would you pick against me?
I'm not picking against you.
It's personal.
Okay.
I think you could be absolutely right, by the way. I don't think you are. I mean, if you look at what I have going for me in this game, I'm better looking. I'm more intelligent. I wear a size 15. You don't. Frankly, I have better hair than you.
Right.
And I think that Jared Goff has a lot to prove. There's pride.
Well said.
Yeah, thank you. You can't put a price on a guy's pride.
Right.
And you essentially kicked Jared Goff to the curb, grabbed his wife by the hand, and walked away with her.
It vexes me.
And when you were crossing the street to go to that romantic restaurant, you got hit by a car.
Terribly vexed.
And Jared Goff's wife went running back to him. John Wolford's laid up in the crib somewhere in traction, and now Jared Goff's got something to prove. And I thought he looked great throwing the ball last week.
So I said, yeah.
You know? And I'm hoping they come out in those fire blue uniforms with the ram on the side of the helmet.
Uh-huh.
Those are pure sex.
I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
I'm telling you right now, Rams are winning this game.
I hope so,
86-74.
Man. Okay.
Final score.
All right. Perfect. Perfect.
Duke wins. The point is Rams are winning. By the way, does anybody realize, and I'm sure this has been made a lot of in L.A. and Green Bizzle, is that I hate Green Bay. I like the Brat Stop, though, in Kenosha. Anyway, the point is that Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay, those are the head coaches of the two different
teams. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yep.
Just trying to help.
Yep.
Are really close friends. So, you know, I don't know that they wife swap or anything. But my point is, I don't know why I say stuff like that.
Everybody gets a test.
You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, you seem like a TV set. Everybody turns around.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, no, I'm kidding. That's like a third grade joke. Doorknob? Anyway, remember when your pitching coach used to be like, oh, just turn your girlfriend's doorknob.
Yes.
Throw that slider.
Yes.
What a pervy dude. Anyway, the point is, listen. The Rams are winning this game.
Okay.
I should probably stop talking.
All right. Yeah.
And then it's the blow-up doll game. Which, of course, means we're talking about Baker Mayfield.
And when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
You were. You were, my man. I know you were. Are you going to cry when Baker Mayfield gets carted off the field with a compound fracture?
Yeah, because that's happening in this game. That's coming.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, they're not good. Winning this game.
It's over. The Chiefs are coming for that ass. The soft side of Patrick Mahomes, he's nice, but good Lord, he is a killer on the field, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, dude.
Patrick Mahomes can play.
Yes, dude. The guy's a killer.
Yeah, they're at home and they're favored by double digits.
They should be. Let's be really clear. The Browns have been a nice story. Just like I said earlier this week, the only reason they won that damn game last week is because of all the turnovers. Straight up. They didn't.
And by the way, wait a minute. Can I just add, and this is, I'm asking a serious question right now.
Right.
Why is nobody blaming Ben Roethlisberger?
I don't know. Like if Jared Goff threw five picks, the guy'd be out of a damn job.
Right. Like
Ben Roethlisberger somehow bulletproof because he's been with the organization for 50 years.
Everybody else is like, oh, well, Ben's got feelings. And he was crying on the field because he was retiring.
Shit.
Who cares? He sucks.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's not. Everybody is calling his leadership into question. Anyway, here nor there. Any chance I get to rip the Ben Roethlisberger, I do.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's proper pronunciation of his name. I've always struggled with it.
I want better fucking execution.
Anyway, Ben Roethler, rapalist, all the girls.
Just take a nice and easy, okay? Just relax.
Just settle down. Anyway, speaking of the blow-up doll, Baker Mayfield. Is this what you needed out of your guy? Has this year been growth and maturity and franchise quarterback and this is our guy, run through a brick wall.
Yeah.
That Mexico paid for, I couldn't resist. Go Baker! Right? Like, are you all in on this incarnation of Baker Mayfield?
I mean, I'm never going to be, like, all in on Baker the way, you know, the Patriots were all in on Tom Brady, let's say. You know, just because we all know that Baker Mayfield is really prone to turning the football over. And I will continue to say that until he puts up extended stats over a long period of time that shows me he's done turning the football over. So that's number one. Now, number two is I do think that Baker Mayfield is extremely likable. I do think the story and the mystique of the Browns is why this conversation is even happening, right? Like, if they weren't the Browns, if we were talking about, you know, the Panthers, nobody would give a damn about this game.
The Panthers?
Like, nobody would care about this game, right? It would be, hey, the Chiefs are going to win by 20. We'll see you next week in the conference championships, you know? But because it's the Browns, because it's Baker, because of some amazing performance that he didn't have last week. Everybody's like, oh, the Browns are going to win this game. They're not winning this damn game. It's not happening. The Chiefs are a better team. They have more talent. They execute at a higher level. They have a better defense. And they're going to take the football from Baker in this game. It's going to happen. So that's why I say, don't be all heartbroken over Baker this week when he turns the football over in a postseason game and that happens. Because that's going to happen. Like, you should have that expectation. So if anybody's picking the Browns in this game, you are insane.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody is picking the Browns. And I think this is a matter of the Browns being able to inflict their will on a defense, frankly, that usually inflicts its will on you.
Yeah.
The Browns are going to try and run the football because they have to run the football to win. And I actually think that if they can come out and grind the clock, that's going to be the question.
That's how you win this game. That's how you beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. How much time of possession is Patrick Mahomes going to have? And how much can the Browns keep him off the field? Can Baker and the Browns convert on third down? And can they run the football consistently enough to limit how much Kansas City scores?
Well, think about the matchup. Was that 2 years ago now when the Patriots went to Kansas City to play the Chiefs in the conference game? I think that was 2 years ago now. Think about what the Patriots did in that game. They did exactly what you were just talking about. They possessed the ball for a long time.
Well, and the catch down the sideline by Gronk, Gronk didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I think it's I think that's the biggest question in this game. And are you going to be able to get that kind of production out of, by the way, Kareem Hunt? And where did Kareem Hunt start his career?
Yeah, lots to prove.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think that's going to be the biggest question.
I don't think the run game is going to get 100% shut down in this game. But my point here is that I don't think that the Browns offensively can hang with the Chiefs offensively. Like, the Browns the Browns are never putting up 40 in a game. That's not happening, you know.
You don't think so? I mean, no. I look at their numbers. You know, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Rashard Higgins has got to be a professional. I mean, that guy drives me crazy with his inconsistency.
Yeah,
but he's wildly talented. I mean, obviously you have two backs in Chubb and Hunt who can both catch the football.
Yeah,
I mean, they're capable of it. This Chiefs defense isn't giving that up. Like, that's just not going to happen. And so when I look at how this game probably plays out, I actually do think the Browns have a lot more of a chance than people are giving them credit for. You're not going to Kansas City and winning.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. I think this is going to be, again, I think there's a potential for this to be a 50-point game. And I would probably put this somewhere, you know, 31-27-ish. But in reality, I think it's going to be 31-24, 35-24.
Yeah, that's more what I'm thinking. I'm thinking mid-30s for the Chiefs and maybe low 20s for the Browns. And it should be said, too, if let's say the Browns do find a way to win this game and Baker goes off and has some like 300-yard performance with like four touchdowns, let's say, we're going to have to change the narrative on Baker Mayfield. Like, that's what's at stake in this game for Baker.
But what is the narrative? And I'm being serious.
Yeah, the narrative
You're a Baker guy. What's the narrative right now?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative to me is that Baker is still trying to prove himself. He is a – I still call Baker Mayfield a young gun of a quarterback because he hasn't gotten to this stage yet of football. Like, he hasn't been – deep into the postseason. He hasn't been like
he's not an elite quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's fair to say. He is not with, like, you know, Russ and Patrick and Aaron. He's not with those guys. You know, he's a cut below that. He can make plays, but there's a certain factor about him in the chaos. He is capable. The X factor in this game, and this should be talked about a lot. Baker Mayfield, whether he was at Oklahoma or in the NFL, when he's on the run and he's throwing the football, he's dangerous. He's very dangerous. And so if that happens a lot in this game will get really interesting. But by no means should we think that the Browns will win this game.
I think the Chiefs have played a lot of close football games.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little nervous. I look at the way they came down the stretch. You know, last night, because I had a coughing fit at 11:30, I had some time to be awake and – you know, look at some NFL statistical analysis.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I'm fried.
They beat Denver 22-16. They won at Miami 33-27.
Miami's low-key, though. They're a good team.
They won at New Orleans, 32-29.
That's a big win.
They beat Atlanta 17-14.
Not a big win.
They lost to the L.A. Chargers 38-21.
Uh-huh.
They've not played elite football in several weeks.
Yeah. Hey.
And they haven't played in several weeks.
Listen, I'd love to see the Browns win this game. I would love to see that the train keep going. But there's no way that's happening. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, Clyde Edwards-Helaire looks like he's going to be fine playing this game. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they come out and what the Chiefs do. If Edwards-Helaire is not 100%, obviously that's better for the Browns.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs are just they've been here before. They know how to win games. You know, obviously the Super Bowl, like, this is not their first rodeo. This is the Browns' first time here, right? Like, this is that I can't, there's a huge.
Yeah, but.
So wait, are you saying that this is going to be a close game?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think it's going to be a close game. Dude. I think there is an innate little thing where the Chiefs are not playing their best football and the Browns feel like they're, you know, 12 inches long and they've got confidence.
Can you measure it?
And you can if you want. I mean, you know, it's a little cold down here, but we won't make things. Anyway, let's move on. The point is, I feel like the Browns have a little window where if they come out, they run the football, they control the clock, and they pounce on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be perfect. They're going to have to play perfect football. It is what it is. But with all of the adversity they faced going to Pittsburgh, with all of the coronavirus that happened to that organization last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And they overcame any of when you overcome the coronavirus.
The coronavirus.
When you overcome that.
Hydroxychloroquine.
And you do it with potentially.
Hydroxychloroquine.
You know, four more years and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you can overcome anything.
Right.
The stage is not going to be too big for them. They can go to Kansas City and win. They're not going to win. But they're going to be in position in the fourth quarter. They'll be within a score in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm usually never wrong. It's never happened before.
Right.
Maybe this is the first time I'm wrong ever.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I made a bad decision after a hockey game 27 years ago, but things
God
happen.
Said you and your sticky fingers probably find hard to grasp.
No, my fingers should have been sticky. The point is, Jake, any thoughts?
No comment.
All right. I like the Chiefs to win this game, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I really don't.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Give me a score prediction.
35-21.
Oh, geez.
I think it's an ass kicking.
Oh, Browns are in 30. You know, Baker might as well not even get off the bus.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Shave that beard, kid. Anyway, the point is, we need to talk about a couple other things after you hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure you search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, and then hit subscribe. By the way, I should ask, Kev says, which one of you is the blow-up doll on Baker Mayfield? Because Monty, it certainly sounds like you're kissing his ass.
No, I didn't.
I never said that Baker was going to blow up and that was you or blow Baker, whatever. Anyway, yeah. Now, I never said any of that. I said that they need to run the ball and they're going to have to be perfect. And even if that happens, they may lose this game. Browns are going to be it when they're in touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm serious. here's an interesting question. Mike wants to know, you usually are pretty spot on about the NFL. This is one of the stupidest things you've ever said. I'm much more Team Jake on this. Blow up. Everybody's on the blow up doll. Anyway, I'm much more Team Jake on this, blow up doll or not.
Oh, my God, dude.
Okay.
That's one of the stupidest things you've ever said.
And listen, Mike, Mike is a diehard Utah Ute fan. Mike, I love you, dude. But, again, I'm usually not wrong. And I'm not saying that I get the outcomes of games correct all the time, even though I did win my radio friend's Pick'em League by like 86.
Cold-blooded, clean, methodical, and thorough.
It was amazing. Amazing. The point is, I feel like the Browns are going to be in position to win the game.
Okay.
I do. Mike also wanted to know who had a better career, Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
Well, oh, God. Come on, dude.
Is this even a conversation? Drew Brees had a way better career.
Dude, Drew Brees had a nice little career. Tom Brady.
I say.
Bro, Tom Brady is.
I just said Drew Brees had a much better career.
Yes, I know. I heard you. Yes, I know.
I try to ignore your nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Brady had a way better career. And it's not over yet. I think he's got to. If he wins this weekend, all bets are off.
Dude, if you're comparing Tom Brady to any other quarterback in this league, the thing you have to the biggest point that hits home the most is the fact that the guy has won a ton, obviously, and he's still doing it. He's still prolific as a quarterback. Whereas Drew Brees has fallen off a little bit. Whether you look at the arm strength, mobility, Tom Brady hasn't fallen off yet, which is amazing to me.
Pat says that he's had to turn the show off because he's trying to have breakfast with his son and we're talking about blowout.
That's what fucking ticks me to fuck off.
Oh, my God.
My bad, Pat. My bad.
Yeah, don't buy blow-up dolls,
yeah,
Jake.
Sorry, dude.
We've talked about
this. That's on me.
Your fans only or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, that's on me.
Did you hear that most of the chicks on fans only?
It's OnlyFans, first of all. Say it right. It's a huge platform.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's called OnlyFans. It's called OnlyFans. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, the chicks that are mainly on fans only are usually broke.
Uh-huh.
And
it's an income stream for a lot of women
right now. Right, but they're not making, they're not making money.
Uh-huh.
I was going to play on words, but that's disgusting.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Exactly. They're not making money on fans only or OnlyFans.
It's the same thing. Like the mystique of OnlyFans is that's all it is. It's a mystique. I mean, OnlyFans is literally the same as every other platform in the sense that, you know, if you already had a following and you took that following to that platform, okay, you're going to still have a following.
But why don't you just send nudes? This is what I don't understand about guys.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's because I've been married for 86 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Are you really paying to talk to a live woman who's nude?
I guess.
Is
like,
that what OnlyFans is about?
My understanding of OnlyFans, and I'm not, like, I've never done it. This is just what I've heard. I know people who've done it.
Wait. So a friend told you.
Yeah, asking for a friend.
Yeah, a friend told you, of course.
Yeah, my understanding is that,
you use OnlyFans when you have a Baker Mayfield fleshlight?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah, okay.
Are we clear on that?
Yeah, like, come on. You know, look, my understanding of OnlyFans is that, yes, it's a subscription-based service that...
Oh, you have to subscribe?
You have to subscribe.
You have it's to not, subscribe?
Yeah, it's not like you're just saying, hey, like, here's $5 for, you know, 5 nudes. Like, my understanding is it's a subscription-based service, and that gets you a number of different things.
I thought it was like a Venmo thing where you...
No. It's not like that.
Okay, so clearly, I have no idea how OnlyFans works. So here's what I thought it was. You tell me what's wrong. I thought it was like a Venmo thing. Hey, baby, you want to hook up? All right, cool. Venmo me $5. I'll send you a nude.
No.
Okay, so what is it?
It's basically, it's a subscription-based service. It's just like anything else. Like, you can, like, my understanding is you can go month to month. You could go, the rates, the woman or the person running the channel determines the monthly rate. So, like, this has been another, and the funny thing is the New York Times just came out with a piece on this about how many people are struggling on the platform.
Yes.
the
most people do not make money on OnlyFans.
And the issue really is that you as the person running your like account or your channel for OnlyFans, you determine your monthly like subscribership cost. So, you know, a lot of people have struggled with, okay, well, if I'm not getting the traction, I'm not making money, I should lower my cost. And that's why people are struggling so much. Whereas these people, these huge celebrities or other people who have already had like some huge following.
Well, didn't it start as a porn star thing? Like porn
stars
would go there
and I have no idea.
It was supposed to be, I thought it was supposed to be a virtual lap dance.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
So
yeah.
I know that in, I want to say that we learned about OnlyFans from Mia Khalifa's manager.
Oh, that's right.
That's
yes.
Well, that's what I,
that's
honest
right.
to God, that's the only thing I know about OnlyFans.
That's right.
Is because I want to say it was Mia Khalifa's manager when we were trying to get her on the show
yes.
in Phoenix.
Yes.
Wanted us to promote it, and the dick who owns that radio station was like, you're never going to talk about that. So she wound up not coming on the show because tightwad jerk loaf in Phoenix was like, no, anything that makes the Monty Show money, we're not doing it.
Correct the mundo.
So I wound up having a conversation with that guy for like 20 minutes about, well, you know, every reset, every time you say, well, we're talking to Mia Khalifa right here on Shit Can Radio. every time you reset, you have to say, find her on OnlyFans, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Well, and the thing, too, is, like, if you just do a basic-ass, like, Instagram search or, like, you go through your Instagram.
Right.
Like, who you follow or whatever, and you find, like, you know, Instagram models or women who have an account that's based on, you know, their body or whatever, guaranteed that they'll have a link in their bio to it. Like, that's one of the biggest things driving OnlyFans is the people who do OnlyFans have Instagram accounts that feed and push
right.
people to
right
the
because they'll put their rack on there yeah, or they'll so, like scantily clad bathing. But here's yeah. the thing I don't understand. Like, Mia Khalifa is an interesting example of this
uh-huh.
because Mia Khalifa claims that she never made very much money at all in porn. Like that she doesn't get residuals, none of that.
Right.
Why are you going to sell your body? Not get paid for it and just continue to do it? Like, at some point, like, Mia Khalifa has a podcast that's massive. Like, she has huge relationships in DC and sports.
She just has a huge following overall.
Right. So why are you, I don't, you got out of porn, but now you're doing OnlyFans. Like, it
well,
just, the whole thing
tried,
doesn't make sense to me.
Well, when we tried to have her on the show, she said that she didn't want to be known as a porn star anymore.
Yeah, she did not want to talk about, she,
Yet on her Instagram, she's doing it. Is she doing OnlyFans?
I don't know. I don't follow her. I don't
believe. I have no idea. But like, on her Instagram account, there's still a ton of stuff. Like, she still does modeling and like all that stuff to make money for herself.
All right. Mia K on Instagram.
Yeah.
I do not. She has 22 million followers.
Yeah, dude. It's a legit
Jesus.
Following.
Are
yeah,
you serious?
Bro. Yeah. Yes.
She does not. Let's. Okay, so Mia Khalifa on Instagram is just Mia Khalifa, Mia K. Are you even a brown girl with glasses if you haven't been called Mia Khalifa? And she has some daysdigital.com life culture article thing. And yeah, it's just a bunch of pictures of her scantily clad, like.
And that's what
bikini.
I'm saying. That's her brand. Like, that's who she is.
You know, like, these, like, just, yeah, okay. I mean, I guess I get it. Obviously, it's a lot of politics because she's got a lot of, like, Capitol yeah. riot stuff. But it's just a lot of pictures of her not wearing very much, frankly.
Yeah.
But my point is, you have 22 million followers on Instagram. Are you telling me you can't do paid posts? Are you telling me that you can't do sponsored
I guess not, dude.
Stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
William says, all you guys are doing is sitting here talking about OnlyFans. You're telling me you've never looked at it.
I've never looked at it.
I can honestly tell you I've never looked at OnlyFans.
I know five people at our great employer who have done it, who have looked at it.
But the point is, isn't like, and I'm the guy who says pornography is the great destroyer of men.
Uh-huh.
But isn't like RedTube free? Isn't like what the other...
Pornhub
is free.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
why would you
yeah.
pay somebody to look at their news?
And that's kind of like the great thing here, because some people, and this to me is ridiculous, honestly, but like, some people will say, I've seen this on Instagram and around. Some people will say, well, yeah, the reason that people are willing to pay is because they want to support like their friends, and like they want to, you know, like in a time like we're in right now, because that's the reason OnlyFans is taken off. Let's be honest about it. With the pandemic,
yeah,
and
people are out
going
of work.
Up,
they
people
need to
are
pay
out
bills.
Of work. They need money. And so, and I know I keep referencing this, but it's funny we're talking about this today. Yesterday, the New York Times put out an article on a woman who's made more money doing OnlyFans than she ever did in her salary.
That's what stands out to me. I feel like there's a top 1% who make all the money, and everybody else is, it's YouTube. The top 1% make all the money, and then there's guys like me and Jake who are just dying for 100 subscribers, right? Yeah. I think that's what OnlyFans is.
Yeah.
But apparently we've caused some confusion. Real Fat Jesus says, send nudes, you asked me to stop. Jesus, not everything's about you. Well, wait, everything is about Jesus? Well, doesn't the Bible say that everything is based on Jesus? Okay, I'm so confused right now. Anyway, Mitchell wants to know, how did we get here? I have no idea how we started talking.
I think we got here off of Aaron Rodgers' mustache. That's what happened.
No, your Baker fleshlight. Oh, your Baker fleshlight.
Damn.
That's right.
Dude, sorry, guys. That's right. Sorry. All right.
Great.
Okay, cool. Cool.
But anyway, now that we're here, why don't you just hit subscribe?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Good job.
Hit subscribe on our YouTube channel, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. A couple of quarterback issues real quick I want to talk about, because I am no longer going to denigrate this show into your porn habit.
Right.
What's going on with Tua, don't call me Tagovailoa in Miami? Tua Tagovailoa, you know, I thought was a huge mistake as a draft pick. We've talked about that train for a long time. With the broken hip, all the injuries, he's left-handed. Alabama quarterback. Not a lot of success there, right? Miami Dolphins drafted him anyways.
Right.
They wound up not starting him because they were starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Okay, veteran, let the guy learn. Fitzmagic, awesome beard with crabs. We get it. They bench Ryan Fitzmagic, and they put in Tua Tagovailoa, who they then benched to put in Fitzpatrick, who they then benched to put in Tua Tagovailoa. Well, now, because professional athletes are cowards for the most part.
Yeah.
Do you want to know which of them are cowards?
Yeah.
Anonymous Dolphin players are coming out and saying that they don't believe that Tua Tagovailoa is a franchise quarterback.
These civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Apparently they do, and they don't need a fleshlight to do it. But the point is that Tua is not apparently a big believer in his teammates because he's questioned their abilities. And now his teammates are like, well, yeah, he's not that good of a quarterback. We were really shocked that they benched Fitzmagic for Tua Tagovailoa.
That's heat, bro.
Yeah. Fitzmagic's not going to be on the team next year. And essentially what the Miami Dolphins are doing is they are turning the franchise over to Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know why I want to say it that way, just because that's the kind of show we're doing today.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is they're turning the franchise over to Tua.
Yeah.
Mistake? Not a mistake?
Oh, it's a mistake for sure. I mean, I think, you know, the thing here is that this is all setting up to have a locker room issue. I mean, you're talking about guys who are unnamed Dolphins players complaining about Tua. Okay, cool. You guys are not on the same page in the locker room. You don't respect Tua. Tua doesn't respect you. This is an issue. And this is, as much as I love what Brian Flores did for that squad this past season, this is an issue he's going to have to take care of. You have to squelch this. Simple as that. And
this is an issue he's
going to
have to take care of.
Hi. Wow, hi.
Sorry,
hello.
Volume
hey,
is up.
Hi. They got to take care of the issue, man. And that's why I say, like, yeah, he's not that great of a quarterback. That's the truth.
Okay, let's talk about NFL head coaching openings that are not open anymore. Because let's just start with the Jets. They hire San Francisco 49er defensive coordinator Robert Saleh.
Uh-huh.
Like it or hate it?
I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. I mean, they'll have a good defense, but they to your point, they needed an offensive guy.
I think they needed an offensive guy with a lot of excitement around him. His name's Eric Bieniemy. You should have hired him. Robert Saleh is going to be a great head coach in this league. I think he brings in tremendous belief and enthusiasm and energy and rah-rah, and you love it.
Yeah.
Right? But defensive guys, in my opinion, are not at the top of the NFL. I think if you look at who's the best team in the NFL right now? Well, it's probably the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid, an offensive guru.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at teams that have won the Super Bowl of late, it's been with offense.
Belichick was Tom really Brady. The last one to, but he, like, even,
but Tom Brady is why they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
right? And you have Josh McDaniels, one of the best offensive coordinators in football, essentially handling all the offense.
Yeah, but that the reason people say defense won that particular Super Bowl is because the Rams scored like 10 points in that game. I mean, yeah, they got dominated. So, I mean, you can make a case either way, but I agree with you about the Jets. Yeah, Salah's a nice candidate. They'll have a good defense. It'll be a lot better than Gase, obviously, but that you needed an offensive guy.
Jags hired Urban Meyer. That's done.
Yeah.
Good move, bad move. I love it. I think it's a great move for the Jags.
I will continue to stay on the train that, great, you're going to win football games, but that organization will get torn down when something happens with Urban. It's going to happen.
Titans are hiring Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. No, excuse me. I got that wrong. The Atlanta Falcons are hiring Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. Meh.
Okay, cool. Okay. You're going to continue to be an average-ass organization.
We'll see outside of the playoffs. Yeah. Seattle Seahawks are looking for an offensive coordinator. Russell Wilson wants to be part of the decision-making process.
He should be.
No, he shouldn't.
Yeah, he should.
Well, what happens when they hire an offensive coordinator, Russell breaks his leg? Well, thank God we hired this guy for
Russell.
Dude,
he's been one of the most durable quarterbacks.
Right, but my point is, I don't think you can let players... You can't.
He is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's been your franchise guy for a decade. He's won you Super Bowls. Like, it doesn't.
Okay.
I guess we just disagree on this one. I mean, he's one of the few guys in the league that I can say, yeah, you know, Russell has taken us to the promised land and done things for us. Like, yeah, maybe we could at least hear his opinion on it. You know, I mean, maybe he doesn't make the final decision, but input at least.
Final NFL story of the day before we get to the Secret Service pooping. Final NFL story, are UFOs real?
Yes, I think they are real.
So Donald Trump declassified a bunch of information that essentially said the aliens are going to crawl out of the ground and murder us.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that UFOs are real?
Yes.
I kind of do, too.
Yes.
I do, too.
Yes.
There's a new show on Discovery Plus, which I'm never going to pay for.
So stupid, dude.
Right, but they put a lot of original content on there. Them and HBO Max. That Denzel Washington movie on HBO Max has me on the verge. Mm-hmm. I really want to see that. After I drive to Evanston tonight and eat fast food and buy Powerball tickets, I might rent that. Yeah. Okay. Well, don't bring Baker with because I don't want Baker in the backseat.
Okay. No, I'm going to be respectful. No,
and
kids.
If you and him are in the backseat, you better not be touching.
Anyway, okay.
The point is, I think UFOs are real.
Yeah.
Before we have to get out of here, because we only got about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Before we have to get out of here, because I do have to poop, actually.
Right.
Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the show, because I don't want to rip Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, because we have a lot of Trump supporters that listen to this show. That bitch and her husband cost taxpayers $144,000. I need the pissing me off drop. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump own a palatial townhome in D.C. They get Secret Service protection. They say to the Secret Service, who come to their door, they're like, knock, knock, hey, Ivanka, I got to take a deuce. Can I use the pot? No, sorry. We are not going to let you or any of your Secret Service colleagues use the dumper. Why, you only have one? No, we have 7 bathrooms in this house. You're not going to use any of them. So what did the Secret Service do? Legit story, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, would not let the Secret Service use bathrooms in their home. 7 bathrooms in their house. They said, no, you're not going to do that.
Right.
The Secret Service rented the flat next door for $144,000 so that they could have a place to take a dump.
That's what fucking ticks me the fuck off!
$144,000 of taxpayer money.
Yep.
So the Secret Service could take a dump.
Yep.
Here's what I'm saying. If you don't want me to use your bathroom, I can respect that. I'm a man who values a quality shitter. That's me, right? I'm a guy. I value taking a dump. I love it. PDH for days.
Right.
But if I'm not going to let you use my toilet and you got to run to the White Hen or the Circle K or whatever convenience store and use their crapper,
yep.
I'm not going to replace the protection unit while they take a dump.
Yeah.
If the Secret Service needs to go to the bathroom, let them in your house. Give them a designated bathroom. You're a multi-gazillionaire. Let them use the bathroom that's got a pedestal sink and a crapper in it and let them protect you.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't do that because you're too good.
It's ridiculous. And now, by the way, they've moved out of that house and they've moved to Florida. all the Trump family apparently have left.
Yeah, they're all going to Mar-a-Lago.
And I don't have time to do this now because we're almost out of time here.
Uh-huh.
But the shit that the Trump administration is dumping on the Biden administration, like freezing money, like hundreds of billions of dollars they're freezing because there's you have to freeze it for 90 days, for 6 months, so that the Biden administration won't be able to use that. Mike Pompeo, that prick of a Secretary of State, like designating Cuba and as a terrorist state so that it takes months and months to undo that, just so that we won't formalize relations again with Cuba, making it very difficult to enter back into a nuclear arms agreement with Iran. Like, the Trump administration is doing everything they can do to put hurdles in front of Joe Biden and his administration.
Yep.
And it just... That's what...
Dude. Yeah,
who's mean
yep.
me off.
Yep.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
It's Friday already, Jake.
I know. I'm glad.
I'm number one in the unit. Mm. You're what, third, I think, right now?
Yeah.
We're having a good month at the Yelpatory.
Uh-huh.
Today's a big day.
Uh-huh.
Got to finish strong.
Right.
Enjoy your weekend of football. Please, please, please find us on YouTube. The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Find us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. It really helps the channel grow. We appreciate it. Find us anywhere you get a podcast, anywhere on social media, anywhere on YouTube. You just got to search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Until Monday, say, I love you, Baker.
I love you, Baker.